What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over X2 Power Batteries. We're back with the captain, Mr. Andy Full, and I am your host, Bailey Egbert. Andy, thank you for holding down the fort last night for fantasy fishing.
Talk about impromptu. I was scrambling.
Andy, I think, was told 2 minutes after we were supposed to go live that he would be hosting, because literally it was fine offline when we started, like getting everything ready off scene here. But then for whatever reason, my MacBook's like, oh, you want to go live tonight? Psych. I'm going to do a 3-hour update. And then it's something went super haywire. Andy says, we'll blame the eclipse. I'll rock with that. But it's working right now. So fingers. I don't know what it's been. The past 6 months have just been a technological nightmare.
It's technology. Between
podcasting, GoPros for filming. Like, it's just been horrible. I don't know what it is. I'm just cursed.
Thing after another. You're not cursed. It's just life.
Well, maybe in the full household, you guys have some wild stuff that happens.
Oh my gosh. Like, it just never ends over here, but we don't need to get down that rabbit hole. We'll have enough rabbit holes tonight to dive into as we were talking offline. So those who are tuned in are going to have some fun stories to listen to. But how was Norman, man? Like,
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about it much, really, at all, because we haven't talked much since I got home.
No, we talked, I think, like when you first got there for a brief second, you called me, but that's about it.
Yeah. That's honestly the most time we ever get to talk is when I'm out in the water, because we're usually too damn busy any other time.
I think our text messages are okay and nice 90% of the time.
Yes.
Like, yes.
Sending fish pictures, tackle orders, and then that's very much it.
Yeah.
Norman was awesome. We were saying a little bit offline too, but I was sending my wife some house listings on Norman after Friday of practice, just because that place was so much fun, man. I think it's actually really cool. I was talking with because the Queens live down there, and honestly, that's a hotbed for a lot of anglers. I mean, you got Shane LeHue down there, you got Hank Cherry down there, you got a star-studded lineup of at least touring pros that are from the Carolinas. But I was just talking to Jeff about the area and different things like that, and it's crazy one how much houses are worth.
Were they like $1.5 million starting?
It made me throw up when I pulled up Zillow. I was sitting there in practice going back to the ramp, and but it's just a really cool area, man. It's just very a fishy community. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go. I wanted to go get dinner with KJ and Jeff and like that over the weekend, but fortunately couldn't line up. I don't know if the OGs remember, we worked with Queen Tackle, and we're still really good friends with the Queen family. They're amazing people. Make sure you guys support them. They make amazing lineup of jigs, but Norman, we were talking about a little offline, but I drove starting Wednesday at 6 PM, got to the ramp at like 4:30 in the morning, napped for an hour, and got out on the water for day one of practice. And just, it was cool. And the fact that my typical kayak, this was for the Hobie BOS event down there, was actually still at Morgan Marine right now, getting all rigged up, 'cause it's a pretty wild setup for this year. So he gave me an Outback, which is pretty bare bones, smaller, faster kayak. And, basically was went in there super simple. It felt really good to be forced to be, you know, bring 6 rods, no electronics, just go fish shallow. Which is a great time of year to do it anyway, but, went up shallow with a mag draft, a glide bait, and a jig, and got into them pretty quick. I was telling you guys offline, I caught like a 4.5 on the glide, caught like a 3.5 on a jig, dumped like a 5 on a glide, and I'm sitting there like, man, this place is freaking fun. And then day two, finally got to go to the area I wanted to practice at, because it was pretty windy that Thursday. And dude, I rolled my hooks on the glide, so I wouldn't hook many fish, if any at all, and they were coming unfreaking glued on that thing. And it was so much fun, man, because it's a really cool area. The lake's massive, super diverse. You can catch them deep, you can catch them shallow, you can do a whole mixture of things. And basically, it was one, on the way back to the ramp looking at house listings, but two, putting in orders for some pretty wild glide baits that I told myself maybe a year ago I would never in any shape or form buy, but here I am shopping for them. So it's fed my glide bait addiction, which I know we're going to get into today.
Ruined.
It's going to be a fun video nonetheless. The curse of losing big fish continues because dumped a 5 day one of tournament day on the glide, dumped like a 4-pound spot, and then of all things lost a 4-pound largemouth on a wacky rig. I don't know how that happened.
It must not have had the hook.
I don't know what it was, but it was one of those docks because the docks are actually pretty fun. Like they're just giant long thing. Like there's one that people down there know what I'm talking about. You know, our guest offline Emil will know what I'm talking about, but they have like the foundation. There's like, it's like a circle and then it has like 6 different pilings with like a couple in the middle. And I just cast a wacky rig in there and it went through like a whole figure 8 of them. And I got them out of there after it wrapped me up a bunch of times. I get it out and I'm like, okay, we're good now. Like if I didn't lose it in there, we're not going to lose it. And it just goes to the boat and just spits. I'm like, of all places for me to lose this fish, and I lose it right at the boat. But anyway, it, amongst all that lost stuff, I still remain calm. I was still positive. It was interesting that it didn't faze me as much, but it was just fun, man. Like it could have been a big day. Ended up 30th after the 2 days of 100 and something. But man, it was, every morning I got my limit within the first 15 minutes throwing top water, like hard to complain with that. Yeah. Just a fun time. So highly recommend Norman. Norman's a cool place. A bunch of cool restaurants around to go to. But we can save that for another day because we're already almost 7 minutes in and we haven't gotten to a bunch of our news yet. And I want to get our boy, Mr. Emil Wagner, here on the show, who did a great podcast with Bass Talk Live. If you guys haven't looked at that one or listened to that one yet, highly encourage you to. But then part two of today's show, we're going to get the University of Montevallo boys on, Tyler Corey and Scott Sledge, talk about their win during Classic Weekend. Have a little bit of fun with those boys. But real quick, if you guys did not see last week, we put on our social media, we hit 10,000 followers on social media for Serious Angler, or I should say on Instagram for Serious Angler, which appreciate everybody that's followed us. We're not like big on the whole like taking the follow numbers to heart, but it is a cool milestone nonetheless to see the growth of the platform. It is a cool thing to see as like a just being proud of the work we put in. And that's all credit to you guys. So appreciate everybody that's followed along. And with that, we did a little Blackfish gear giveaway. And so with that, we're going to announce the winner tomorrow morning. So this is us letting you know there is one more evening, if you will. There's still a couple hours left.
4 hours left to get in.
4 hours left to get in. Simply, all you got to do is follow us on Instagram. If you're already following us, you're already entered. But there are extra entries if you follow Kayak Fishing Weekly or the Lure Lab as well. You get some 5 extra entries for that. But nonetheless, super proud of that.
Sean wants to know if you lost something on your face.
Yeah. I got some compliments on the stash, man, but it was mixed comments. Some people like, what is that caterpillar right there? And some people are like, shouldn't let you near school. Then some people are like, hey, nice stash. The wife gets the final ruling.
The next time you fish a kayak derby, you have to show up with the stash in like a Canadian tuxedo. So just pure denim. Denim jeans. Denim jacket. What's up, guys?
That'd be a sight. That's funny. The guy I started with actually shared a point with a Canadian guy day one and two, Nate Conley. Super cool dude. So it's funny you mentioned showing up.
He's like, hey, bud. Hey there. Hey there, bud. What you doing on this point?
Hey there, Holzer. Get off my point, eh? All right, enough of making fun of Canadians. So for Omnia Fishing, real fast for you guys, they're running a bunch of sales, 20% off of Beast Coast, 25% off of BKK hooks, which is a wicked deal. And then buy one, get one. I think it's a yearly thing that P-Line does, that's going on as well at Omnia. We got the links down below if you guys want to go check those out. But definitely save yourself some money. Beast Coast jigs. You guys heard us talk about it, especially if you've heard it on the Lure Lab countless times. There's a reason you hear so much about them is because they're pretty damn good.
It hurts to talk about them, but we have to. Oh, look, I have one right here.
There you go. I had one, a football jig sitting on my desk for ages, and I actually threw away the other day because it was finally rusted. Ooh. But beyond that, I'm a mess over here. You can tell I haven't podcasted in a while. The Omnia Premium map, they just dropped a new feature. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but for our research warriors out there, Emil will probably know what I'm talking about. So on Google Earth, you can scroll back and see history of
history now?
Things like that. you now have a history feature for the water temp. I think it's just the water temp. I could be wrong. It could be clarity too. They have a water temp history feature. So now you can go see in recent days, I haven't played with it around too much yet, but you can go back and see how the water temperatures have progressed, which you're fishing right now, springtime. That is one hell of a feature to have. Especially if they do water clarity too, because that could be pretty dang interesting. But check those out. If you're not a premium pro member yet, you guys save a lot of money. I think it's $50 for the year. You get 10% back on all of your orders. So if you do a $200 tackle order, they give you $20 that you can now go use on free tackle. So definitely advantageous to be.
How many times off the top of your head do you think you've spent $200 on a tackle order?
A lot, basically every order.
Almost. Just give me like a number, right?
That I've spent at least 200, yeah. 100 times. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot.
So, all right, well, let's take like random math, right? Like 200 times by, we'll divide it by what? 17? It'd be 17 times 20 because 10%. So you'd make $340. So you basically get almost two free shopping sprees at 17 orders for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's you spend a grand, you get $200. Like it's $200 free tackle. It's a no-brainer. But yeah, for tackle junkies like us, it's definitely an advantage to have, as well as the map features, which I use pretty dang heavy going into Norman, having zero electronics. Little nugget for that, I used the Omnium app, I used the Humminbird One Boat Network app, and I used a meat thermometer for my real-time surface temperature.
I think you sent us like a group picture, and I was like, oh, dear God.
Well, awesome. Also, the best part was I never told my wife I was doing that. She saw my post on Instagram. She sent me a text today. She goes, bro, did you take our meat thermometer down there? And I was like, no, I didn't take ours. We bought one from like a gas station. But you don't need the fancy graphs to do it in the springtime. They definitely help, but you don't need it. Enough of my rambling. Know
where they're going. Yeah. If we told them 6-7 minutes and we doubled it.
Yeah.
Typical rants on our behalf, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Emil.
Yeah. Well, so without further ado, let's bring him on here. Mr. Emil Wagner. What's going on, dude?
What's up, fellas? Y'all can rant however long you want. You're not hurting my feelings. Well,
let's kick it right off, right? Like, let's dive right into a rabbit hole. So where do you want to go with this?
Dude, Norman's a weird one. Like, I don't know. I was just sitting here thinking about that because I've had some tournaments there in the fall. And, like, you're talking about all these 4 and 5 pounders and stuff. Like, that's one of those lakes where, like, March and April, it shows out. And then other than that, the weights literally pretty much suck.
Yeah.
Does that drive you insane when you go to fisheries like that? You're like, I know there's big ones here, but I know if I get 8 pounds today, there's a good chance I'm going to cash a check. It's like,
Norman's one of those weird ones where I actually feel like there's a decent amount of good ones. They just literally don't bite year round. Like, you go there in the summer. I'm not saying you can't have a good day there in like June or October or something, but it's just, I don't know. It's kind of trash. Like, I remember they had that big college tournament there in March, like 2 years ago. It was like a Bassmaster Open. Everyone was like, there's no way that's on Norman. 17 pounds was like 10th place or something. It was unreal. Yeah.
Well, apparently it keeps getting better. According to, I was talking with Jeff Queen a while back. This was probably 2 months ago. He was saying that a lot of the local trails, what they're doing is they take like the 12 to 14 inchers and they just keep them. They bring them with them and they've just been trying to call as many little fish as they can. And it seems to be helping. If that's, I mean, that's a logical reason to see to be benefiting. But like it's the weights keep going up, man. Like they were shocked to think there was a giant charity tournament that ran the same day that had some hammers in it. And I think like 18 pounds won when it's been taken 21 to 24 all this year so far to win on Norman, which is, it's crazy, man. It's yeah. What's that?
You got third, you said?
That was on Murray a month ago. I got 30th. 30th of 100.
I got you.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, three, just add a zero to it, right? Sounds the same if you take out the zero.
I'll take third. Yeah, we can change it.
Hell yeah.
No, it was in Norman fashion, though. It was super stacked. Like, going into day two, I was in 42nd, and I was so let's try and put this in perspective. I was 10 inches behind first, so that's probably 4 or 5 pounds. 4 or 5 pounds, maybe, difference.
Gotcha.
So, like, and I was 5 inches away, I think, from top 15, which is maybe 2.5 pounds. which is crazy.
It's, one it's a kicker, basically.
Yeah, like if I didn't dump one of those fish, I would have been right there. Which is, it's everybody has those stories. You can never lean on those. I still laugh at those stage things where it's like, oh yeah, I had the ones to do it. Or it's, yeah, buddy, you and 70 other people do. But it was crazy. Like, to your point, how many big fish are actually there? Like,
it's nuts.
Day one was a little bit windier, so I stuck to the glide most of the day. But day two was straight, you know, blue skies, no clouds, no wind whatsoever. Got real hot and just knew, like, going into it, I'm going to have to throw the glide first thing. And then once sun gets up, like, it's going to be pretty hard to get them on the glide there because I just got follows. Yeah, yeah. But it was crazy how many – there was probably four or five, 4.5, 5 pounders I saw just sitting under docks. That, like, I literally dragged my wacky rig over one's back because it just wouldn't.
Dude, move. They're ghost fish. Yeah, we get them around. Like, they're, I think the only way to catch them is to, like, lead them on with a topwater or maybe get lucky with a wacky worm. But yeah, those cruising fish this time of year, so dang hard to catch.
Well, so there was, up here too. There was two of them that, like, you could tell that they were in that funk where they wanted to spawn. They're getting ready to spawn. They're just, like, the most. Immobile.
Or they're already done. I mean, we had a big wave 2 weeks ago already, but yeah.
They very well could. I mean, especially when you think about Norman, because they have that whole power plant deal in the south end that right. warms it up quick. Apparently they have spawners in like February, which is a whole different dynamic, but it was just, yep. it was crazy to see some. It was the most frustrating thing because you see a fish that doesn't see you yet, that's facing away from you, that's sitting right under a dock perfectly, and you lay a wacky rig softly right in front of its face. In the north, you're going to catch that fish.
I was going to say, these are southern bass. They're stupid educated.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I've seen that 300,000 times the last week. We're not going to
get that. Usually they swim away from you, even if you stay way off and do everything right.
But it was crazy, the stuff I learned. And it was I usually hate fishing docks, but I actually thoroughly enjoyed breaking down the docks on that lake because there's obviously a million docks, but it was cool to see certain, you could tell which docks had owners that fished because there's like fresh Christmas trees still shoved under these docks.
Yeah. You see the tops, like, of them? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to fish that one. Yeah. And that's usually
I'm assuming most of the bites you got, and it could be different during the spawn, but it's probably on those dredge docks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. You could see like the different coloring. Like you could see it was pretty interesting. Like there's some springs on some on points too. Like it was pretty intriguing to see. And those are the ones you knew you were gonna get bit on. I mean, caught a bunch of fish regardless. But man, I was sitting there. I'm like, we were talking a little bit offline. Like I don't know if I can leave the north just because of smallmouth. But I was telling my wife I was going back in after day two. I'm like, I think spotted bass might be the solution to that because these things are fun.
You still haven't seen much if you're talking about Norman's spotted bass. I mean,
I know I'm preaching to the choir here, Mr. Lanier, because that is top of the bucket list, especially after
come
after
down Norman. Anytime.
Yeah, we're gonna make it happen. But dude, I got a clip that I'll have to send you after this. It'll be on the video, but I was taking a call shad and I was burning it behind a dock, and I had one just scream up and blow it up right at the boat. And I figurated it, got it to eat again, set the hook on it, came flying out. I'm like, these things are freaking turbo missiles. Like it's
turbo missiles. I love that.
It's nuts. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, dude, the frustrating thing about the coal shad thing for spots is like, I got on that like 4 years ago or so. Like now everyone throws it here, but like, I kind of got to see it before it got just everyone started throwing it. And literally it was almost every single dock. You'd have a big one come out, but the spots, they just come out and headbutt it 90% of the time. They don't ever eat it. The largemouth will get it. So like you can throw it on Hartwell in a tournament. Not saying you couldn't on Lanier, but the spots are bad on that thing. Cause like they can headbutt a glide or something and still get hooked. But that thing, they kind of have to eat it to get it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I ended up figuring, I don't know why it took me so long. I think it's cause I didn't really throw it too much day one. Cause I was throwing the glide instead, but, I ended up like around 10 a.m. the last 5 hours, just straight up just taking the coal shad and burning docks. It didn't take me till like the last hour to realize I should just put a freaking stinger hook on this thing. What am I doing? And so I took like, I think I had 15 pound mono and I rigged it to like a size 8 Ichikawa towards the tail. And I started actually sticking some. And that definitely kind of helped because they'd come up and headbutt the tail. Even on a 6 inch coal shad, it's crazy how much they can get of that's not, right. it was pretty nuts, but it was such a cool fishery, man. Learned a lot about it, and it's crazy.
That's crazy you did that, because I've thought about putting a stinger on it, but it's just one of those things that I've thought about and not done because I thought it would mess the action up. But good on you for actually doing it, because
it didn't mess it up at all. It was crazy. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I'm 100% going to try that now.
I just put like a heavier Nico weight in the call shad too, so that you could burn it a little bit faster.
Nice.
But which is nice because they actually have the slots in the call shad where you can
go and do it. Yep, it's got two in there. I don't know. I've tried it with them, but I usually just throw it straight up without them. But I'm about to try that.
Well, my last remarks on Norman is I still hate a freaking fluke. I can't stand a damn fluke. So I'm going to ask the expert here. What hook do you use in a fluke? Because I can't find, dude. I'm gonna get this off my chest now because it's been burning me up since Sunday. This was Saturday. I dumped that 4-pound spot on the glide, and it was still chasing the glide after I lost it, which I love about spots. So you can, I flipped the fluke out at this fish. The fish comes back up, swallows the fluke. My fluke is gone, and 15-pound test, jack him. On a 7-foot medium heavy, the fluke comes flying out of its mouth. I think it was a 4-out EWG.
Yeah. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about that. I promise you, I've tried every hook combo on planet Earth. I've done the hitchhikers, nose hooks, worm hooks with treble hooks threaded onto them, with spinnerbait keeper on them, line throughs.
And they still pop out and fly by.
Well, dude, promise you, I throw it on a 4-aught worm hook, straight up. That's it. And the whole deal, if you rig it perfectly, the reason I do it is because on that worm hook, it's the only hook you can get the right action on. If you nose hook it or do anything else, like, it might look all right, but if you hook it perfectly on a 4-aught worm hook or a 3-aught worm hook, when you pull it, it pulses like a Sebille. And that's the whole deal with it, in my opinion, is getting it to work right. But I throw it on a spinning rod too. So I feel like, and I don't set the hook. Like, when I see them eat it, I pretty much just keep reeling like you would on a.
Now, do you jack them or do you sweep?
No, I just sweep into them. Cause if you ever hit them with slack, I feel like it messes up 90% of the time. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's cause it's so much plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be bleeping out some words on that clip.
Trust me. I promise you, I've probably bleeped out a lot more than you have.
I
was looking. I was editing through. I've got 3 tournaments deep of SD card footage that I was ignoring, and I finally got to it today. And I was like, "God, this is bad."
It's more comical. I think people enjoy that, Dips. It's. There's a lot of professional stuff out there that's really good, but people like that hardcore, like real footage, but.
Make sure you mark it's not safe for kids and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but occasionally you'll just have like a Scott Martin level meltdown and you're like, yeah, thank God that wasn't live.
Yeah. I ended up doing the do you do this as well? Like the whole you take like the hook and you put a treble hook on the bottom, then rig your fluke and then stick the treble on the bottom.
Yes, and my tournament partner still does it behind me when we're throwing it, and he's caught a few bonus fish on it. But for me, I haven't. It affects the action, and it annoys me, and I haven't caught enough on it for me to make it worth the downsides of it, if that makes sense. But I could 100% see an argument for it. So, like, I got a buddy who's really good at the house. Like, we're neck and neck a lot. He does it, and he catches a lot of big ones on it that he wouldn't have caught. So, like,
maybe it's, I don't like know, a maybe hook to
there's a good chance. Ratio. Yeah, there's a good chance this summer I go back to it. Like, I'm always tinkering and whatnot, but I don't know. This is that straight 4-aught worm hook. It's just so efficient. It's never messed up or kinked up. It's just, I just love it.
Yeah, it was so frustrating because, like, I'd get a bunch of bumps on it, like, these 16, 17 inch spots that come out and throttle the glide, they wouldn't get it. And the only follow up bait that they would actually come back and eat, like, they wouldn't touch the wacky rig, they wouldn't touch nothing else, jerk bait, nothing. They would only come back and eat the fluke. And it was like, I couldn't hook them to save my life. I just, there's several times I look at the camera, I'm like, this is why I hate the hell out of a fluke. This is why I don't throw it up here.
And usually, if you can see them eat it, it's way worse. Like, a lot of times when I throw over, like, a brush pile, like, if I got the right conditions and there's a bunch of them and, like, you pretty much know you're going to get bit. It's just a matter of, are you going to catch it or not? I'll work it and try my best to not be like glued to what it's doing, because then a giant one will eat it, especially in like a high pressure case scenario, like a big tournament. And I don't care who you are, you mess it up quite a bit of the time.
You almost want to like count to three and just start reeling when you feel them and just kind of lean.
Right. No, just keep working it and look at your scope. And then if it gets heavy, just
just lean in real faster.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good to know. Are you a braid to floor guy on the Fluke then?
Yeah, 10, 8 pound braid to usually on a Fluke 10 pound leader, because I don't think 8 or 6 would get me many extra bites. Sometimes, like in a big turn, like if there's a lot on the line and they're eating it pretty good, I'll throw 12, because I have broken off on 10, but usually 10 pound leader, 8 pound braid, 90% of the time. That's
Okay.
what I throw on most stuff, honestly. Sometimes on a worm, I'll throw 8, like Nico rigging, I throw 8, shaky head, I throw 10, because it's down there, like in the rocks and stuff. But I never go lighter than 8.
I got you. Are you a twitch tail fluke, or are you like the bulbous tail kind of guy?
Dude,
Like,
I've got like 4 different ones I throw, and that we could do a whole episode on that. But
sounds like a weird
no,
lab to me, Andy.
good fluke episode, yeah.
yeah. I already told Jody had me on and tried. That's the one thing I don't. I'm not a
Well,
liar,
you can
which
break it
would.
down.
No, yeah, they're yeah. We probably just couldn't touch on some of that. But no, there is like obviously the Berkeley one's good. It's got the MAXCENT and everything. I throw that one. The Zoom one has probably the best colors. The Yamamoto one's got good weight to it and a good action. The Strike King one's really heavy and has some decent colors. Nobody's making a perfect one yet, I'll say that much. But
Have you tried
no,
the
they all, depending on the conditions and the time of year and how they're set up, I have way too many, dude. I've got 3 tubs, and like in a tournament when I'm throwing it, I keep every single tub, because like if the
Oh, he sounds
we
like me
lost
with
him.
flatworms. I got like 4 tubs of flatworms in my boat at all time, and
Yeah.
like every color for every situation. It never ends. You can never have enough
There we go.
flukes, apparently, for spots as to where we can have flatworms for smallmouth.
Yeah, it definitely seems
Right
that
one,
case.
and the flukes, I can justify it because I guide out here 5 days a week, and you throw it in tournaments, and like I actually use them. Like I don't
Yeah.
know how many packs I'll go through a year, and that goes for top waters, hard swim baits. But like those, you're obviously not burning through them unless you're breaking them off. But
Right.
yeah, I've got a lot of them, that's for sure.
Well, enough of the fluke talk, because it's just making me mad still
Yeah, it's
sitting
making
here
me
thinking about
anxious, so we can
it.
move on.
Yeah. I just, dude, I was sitting there like dumbfounded because I literally watch the fluke just completely disappear in this big spot. Like, it's clear as day. And I'm like,
Oh.
oh, there's no way. I jack him and I'm like, how?
There's not a worse feeling either. You've worked
Yeah.
your tail off to get the bite, and then you finally get it, and you're like, well, there's no turning back on
Yep. I just feel like an idiot.
that
Yeah, there was a few of those, that's for sure. But changing subjects on that, how deep are you down the rabbit hole of glide baits?
So yeah, we were kind of touching on that. And I mentioned that I recently got pretty far down the rabbit hole, probably a little too far. And I bought five of
Show
these
that case to the
I bought five of these.
camera.
Oops.
Yeah, whoops. And then two of the trouts, which there's zero chance I ever throw. But they're
I know
pretty
somebody that'll
sweet.
take them off your hands if you don't want those
I've
trout.
got these. I've got quite a few of the resin chads, some other random ones, but I'm not like, I don't have a bunch, but
He's not into the rabbit hole yet, but he bought five
no,
hands.
and honestly, I don't see myself getting too crazy. Like, I
That's what
usually
they
like,
all say, Emil.
yeah,
Don't worry.
I said that a year ago.
Bailey
Well, no,
said he
but
would
it's like,
never throw
hey, if,
one that's more than
yeah.
$60, and now he's got a cart full.
Well, this was a justified purchase, because at the Okeechobee Open, I weighed like two of the fish the first day I caught on it. They were both 5 pounders, and then I broke off like a 7 on the only one I had, and it came flying out of the water with it in its mouth. So I was like, yeah, I'm buying a bunch.
Yeah, I remember that clip
But
you had. That
I got
makes
these three custom painted. Y'all can give me your opinion. I got all different colors. That's the first one. It's a, let me see if we can get some better
Oh, that's a
light on here.
beautiful
That's like
gizzard.
a straight threadfin color.
Is
See.
that threadfin?
Yeah.
I don't, dude, who knows?
It's a shad.
Yeah, it's some kind of a shad, a
It'll
gizzard.
mimic all of it.
And then this one's kind of the same. Honestly, it looked different in the picture, but it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And
It's just
then
got a little bit lighter colors, like more contrast from
this,
top
yeah,
to
and this is
bottom.
my favorite one. It's the Redfin, and it's got like a purple haze. This lighting really isn't doing any of
Oh, yeah.
these
Now yeah,
justice,
you can see
but
it. You can see it. That's like the popular one, isn't it? With the Redfin?
yeah, I think Millikan made that like carp color pretty famous. This isn't quite that, but it
They'll fish like it.
yeah, it looks pretty sweet, but I haven't gotten into, I know like you got to put weight on them and like mess with them and stuff to get them perfect, but that one I was throwing at Okeechobee was actually a phony that my buddy had modded or messed around with a little bit so you can chop it faster. And I think that was why it was working so well, because when they get on it, I was moving it to get them to eat it. Like it was no, just like I was really moving it. And that's how I like to fish in general. So I don't know. I'll have to see if I can get these to do that, but
That's badass. Now you said you had trout ones that you're not gonna throw?
yeah, well, I've even got them painted, but I got two up there and they're like the size of my shoe, so I don't, maybe fun fishing in North Georgia or something, but the odds of that ever being thrown in a tournament, I could pretty much guarantee you are
Ah,
zero.
spot will hit it. Guaranteed.
Yeah, it would definitely come up and look at it and headbutt it or something, but dude,
Like,
even
you're as
like,
big
that's
as
what I'm
me.
saying though, like even the coal shad thing, like, or a 6-inch glide or whatever, like I'll throw it in tournaments, but in my opinion, 90% of the time, it's more of a heartbreak lure than it is a win a tournament lure. And that's why you see, like, even on the elites, the last couple of years, like, glides have kind of been the craze. And don't quote me, but I still don't think anyone's won a tournament on it. I think they've had one or two bonus fish in their bag with it. And, you know, like, I remember Carl was leading that Chickamauga tournament in March 2 years ago on it, and then just fumbled the second day. Like, it's, I still don't think it's a tournament winning bait, but it definitely, like, if you hit the right day with it and the right conditions on the right lake, you can
Blast.
blast them with it. But I'm still not, you know, you gotta throw it when it's necessary. But I will say that time in Florida on Okeechobee, they were destroying it. Like, it was the deal. And I was very sad when I broke that one off.
I can imagine.
It was
It's a
heartbreaking.
giant,
And then
and
the,
you lost an expensive bait.
yeah, like I broke it off and I looked on scope and I could see him swimming and he just starts coming straight to the surface. And I was like, here we go. And sure enough, like it was one of those that couldn't even come fully out of the water, just like wallowed, and you could see it.
You're like,
Oh
no.
no. Yeah. It
It's
was
just rubbing the
brutal.
salt.
It was brutal.
Gosh. You hate
Yeah,
to
I was
see.
throwing the quad hooks on it too. Those things are legit. That was my first time trying those.
Yeah, I definitely did not order a bunch of those. I'm telling you, I'm screwed. I'm done. I'm done for now. But here,
Might as
my
well quit
question.
tournament fishing now, Bailey, because the glides are gonna outcost your tournament winnings at this point.
We'll be fine. It's all
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, and I'll never, dude, I'll never, like, not throwing shade, but some of the guys in the, you know how the swim bait community is, it's so like, you know, everything's
Yeah,
gotta be
there's
perfect.
definitely some, I don't want to say entitlement's the word, but
But
it's
it's,
there's some of that going on for sure.
yeah.
I mean, hey, all the power to him, because like it's like the true style, I would say, out of everything we do in fishing right now, the true style of hunting, like hunting for a trophy.
Yeah,
That
for
is,
sure.
yeah.
For sure. And there's a ton of skill to throwing a big bait. But at the same time, and again, I hope no one takes this the wrong way, but it is kind of like, I feel like some people will throw it all day for 3 days and act like it's this crazy thing. I'm like, it's also kind of a cop out thing to do, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't really have to figure anything out. You just have to throw it all day. And if you
Yeah,
catch
just
bit on
run to
it,
points and
yeah, if
the
you get
best
bit on it,
looking
you're a
dock.
hero. And if you don't, it's like, oh, well, I was throwing a swim bait, so everyone should understand why I didn't get bit.
Yeah. It's the
I don't know.
excuse. We're like, yeah, but I'm a man. I threw a swim bait all day. I
Yeah,
didn't
it's like,
fight.
I got like the ultimate comparison. If anyone knows like steelhead fishermen, like the cream of the crop steelhead fisherman is like a spey guy. They use like a 13-foot rod, throw like flies that look like, well, I have one like this, like just big balls of hair. The glide bait fisherman is the equivalent of a steelhead spey fisherman. They spend thousands of dollars to catch one fish a month.
Yep.
So like
That's fair. Now, if I lived in Texas or somewhere, it would definitely
absolutely.
be like someone like Millikan, who's actually taking it to, he's definitely had good tournament results with it. And heck, he's
100%.
probably, I'm sure I haven't watched them all, but he's probably won some of those local tournaments he's fished with it. And yeah, there's definitely a time and place for it, but
Yeah,
we'll
for
see.
sure.
I'll probably get into it more this summer.
Well, and I think there's a
That's where the
reason.
rabbit hole expands.
Right.
Yeah, we'll have a glide bait follow up show.
There we go. Yeah.
I'll have three
What is in
designated
Emil's
rods
closet
for it.
Now?
We're just gonna check in on Emil's addiction here. That was the
Yeah, and apparently 20-pound fluoro isn't heavy enough for him, because that's what I broke that one off on. And I don't know if I nicked a rock or something, but yeah. Yeah, I put 25 on the next day.
That's the thing, right? Is the whole setup. Like, I've been our buddy Brendan Brown, Brown Bait Co. He chimes in on our comments all the time. He's been kind of my resource when I go to about certain things of what rods to throw. And there's apparently like a certain setup you need and reel you need for under 2 ounces. And if you go over 2 ounces, and you got to have a whole nother rod and reel setup for that. And it's just like, it's just a whole different thing, which it's fun to learn. But I think, like everything, it's finding a place amongst avids and tournament fishermen, I think for good reason, but it's one of those things where you can't go and live and die by it, which, I mean, depending on the tournament, right? If you got a one dayer, maybe a two dayer, you can certainly go and live and die by it, especially if they're on it pretty hot. But it's one, like in your case, it's one where you have on deck, especially one for practice, because it's a great search tool.
Yeah, to find fish. Oh, that's what I always tell people. It's like, or even in practice, like in Florida, I picked it up more so just to like draw some fish and see how many were on certain places. And then they just started biting it. So it was like a byproduct of that. But 100%, just to see them and find them. Yeah, it's the deal. But
yeah,
you'll get someone like Zaldane, like he's like kind of made his whole brand this one bait, and like it's probably burned him a lot more than it's helped him. For being
yeah,
honest,
the one I think of is the classic at Loudon that he took second in, right, or like third or fourth. His top five going in the final day, and he just threw a 6 and 8 inch mag draft the entire time. The first time the classic went to Loudon and Teleco and Knoxville,
yeah.
Yeah. And the second day he struggled, and then the third, no, I think he caught him the second day, first day struggled a bit, and then the third day it just burned him. He caught like one fish or two fish all day.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's something you throw when you're capped out, like on 4 pounders or something. Like, you're already doing good, and then you're like, I physically don't think I could catch like a 7 doing what I'm doing. Then you might go do it, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things, like you're going to have it in the boat regardless, because you might make 10 casts with it during the day. It's one of those
100%.
Things where you got to have it. Like, it's
yep.
You're going out of a pocket and it's got to stretch a deep docks or something like that as you're leaving. It's just one of those where it's a scenario based thing, which like
100%.
Basically I was saying, well, we weren't supposed to have glass calm conditions Sunday, but it changed a little bit obviously. But, originally, I was gonna be like, I'm just gonna live and die by this thing, be the stubborn swim baiter, and go and say, I'm just gonna go and shoot for big here. But it was, you definitely need to be able to put it down, and that is the thing you gotta acknowledge. Like, 100%. I had one that was old big, just like do the slow, like what you want to see in practice when they slowly just follow it out and say hello and just get interested.
Yeah,
that's when you gotta know, like. You got to put it down. Like, if it comes out hot on it, doesn't eat it, maybe you change color or cadence, but like, that's when you got to know, you got to put that sucker down. But I'm curious from your position and expertise. So in my position, throwing that cull shad, I was getting a lot of fish that would come up and just rock it and smash the cull shad, but wouldn't get it. Like you were just talking about, it's a bait that can make you pretty sad.
Yeah.
If that's happening to you, you're having a bunch of fish come up, bump the bait, not getting it fully. What's your first switch?
What we would do here is I would go throw it in like 3 pockets, and then you catch the ones you catch. And then if I had a big follow, I'd just like mark the dock or make like a mental waypoint of like where it came out of. And then I'd let that fish reset. And then I'd come back around and usually just throw a wacky worm or a light shaky head where I saw it. And a lot of times you can catch them like that. So like, I usually, at least here, it doesn't seem like I can catch them very often on an immediate follow-up. But like, if you leave, they usually go back to that same spot. So like, you can throw it, and then catch however many you catch on it. And then go right back through those pockets with a wacky and not have to hit all 20 of them. You just go to the few you got followed on. Because, dude, if it's a spot, I don't care if they're 2 pounds or 6 pounds. Like, they're usually going to show themselves on it. So between that and LiveScope, you're saving a lot of time for sure.
100%.
But no, that's really all I do with it. If they come out on it and try to eat it and miss it or something, and it may be a fault of mine, but I'm just so ingrained with like fishing brush and whatnot that like you get your chance and then it's over. Like I'm gonna let them reset and then try to catch them, not go back for them right away.
Yeah, that definitely seemed to be the case. I figured out a little bit. I couldn't tell. Is that a normal thing
Oh
with
yeah.
spots, or is that just when they're trying to spawn?
No, that's a normal thing. But really, the only time we throw it here, or at least I do, is March through mid, like May. Because early, I feel like early season, like when they're still hard pre-spawn, you get the biggest bites on it. And then right now, where they're like pre-spawn, full-blown spawn, post-spawn, is when you get like the most bites on it and some big ones. And then post-spawn, you can obviously catch a bunch of those post-spawners, like big skinny ones on it. But my favorite time to throw it's in March, before I feel like everyone else picks it up. Because, dude, we almost won a really, really big college tournament on it. And we had 5 bites on it and landed 4 of them. And they were all over 4 pounds. And that was on a lake that didn't have very many. That was a big one. But no, I don't throw it in the summer or the fall or anything. I'm at least not around here, because it's just they all kind of get to pretty obvious places. And even if we're catching them on the bank, it's normally something you normally need something a little faster, I feel like, to get them to commit.
So do you go over that 6-inch swim bait mark with spots, or do you just
I haven't. I know you could. I mean, they're so aggressive, dude. A 2.5 pounder would probably eat this Hinkle Shad, but no, dude, I haven't. I have such a tournament mindset about it. And like, I think if I guided and just fun fished, then I'd probably throw the big ones and all kinds of other stuff a lot more. But you know how it is. You're always just looking for something that can get you the most bites, but also big bites. So six or seven is probably maxed out for me. And then I have these Hinkles for if I'm in Texas or Florida or somewhere where I feel like it actually makes sense to throw it.
I feel like I absolutely love the spirit of a spot, like the mentality they have. Like, I feel like you got
they're
two
their own
spots that
bag.
are sitting under a dock. They see this freaking 10-inch glide bait come past him. He's just looking at his buddy. He goes, "You won't go eat that." And he's like, "Bet." And just goes,
Bet.
Dude, literally, like there's something else. And like I've told you a million times about it, but like you still haven't you've never done the top water spotted bass summertime thing.
I haven't yet, no.
Yeah, that's when you truly get how stupid, or not stupid, but just how aggressive they are. Like, dude, it is unbelievable what they will do to like a big topwater bait once they're fired up. Like you'll throw it over them, there'll be anywhere from 5 to 50 of them in the school, and if you get one to come up on it, if they're biting, they will literally come fully out of the water, volleyball it, shark it till one gets it. There's nothing, and I've caught them at Champlain on top water. I've caught big largemouth on a buzzbait on the bank. I feel like I've done most of the top water bites, and nothing
He's
comes
like,
near
give me
it.
that 15-inch spot all day.
Yes. Well, the good thing is here they're normally like 3 or 4 pounds.
Yeah.
So
Those spots in Lanier have been getting big. Like, I feel like now you're
it's
starting to a lot.
insane.
Is it because the Alabamas are starting to get in there and take over? Or are they.
It's just no, nobody, everyone has their own theories. I don't think anyone really knows the answer, but the last 4 years, it's just been getting progressively better and better. And it's almost like we're seeing the same class of fish. They're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're not dying off or doing anything stupid. And they're just getting bigger every year, and the weights are going up, and there's so many fish in the lake. And it's not even that they're necessarily. Like, I think a lot of people see the weights and they think you just show up and the fishing itself is stupid. It's not the dumbest numbers wise all the time, but the size is what makes it as good as it is. I mean, dude, it's unreal. Like, we had one this weekend, and given this is probably the second biggest bag of spots I've seen weighed in. I didn't fish it, but it took 24 all spots.
Damn.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Good
So,
Lord.
how does like a 4.5 pound spot compare to like, say, a smallmouth in the same weight class? How is the fight compares?
So before I went to Champlain, which was my first like true smallmouth experience,
Those fish are just pissed up there, so.
Yeah. I was always told like the smallmouth fight harder, but no way. They jump more, but they do not fight harder. Not in my experience. A 4 pound spot will, I mean, they,
They'll try to die before they give up.
yeah, and like you'll get them right to the boat, be sure they're tired, and then they'll just get a whole nother set of life in them and go crazy.
I'd say, Andy, the closest comparison, at least in my limited experience with spots, is like river smallmouth. It's probably the closest it comes, but I definitely think spots might take the cake when it comes to aggression.
Yeah. If
Pure.
you're talking river fish, those probably fight harder. I've caught a couple shoal bass, and those things are crazy. Like a 2.5 pounder feels like a 7 pound largemouth, but.
Well,
Dude,
he's just
you're.
opening his mouth and sitting in that current as you're trying to fight him, and they just feel massive. You're like, dang it, it's like a 2 pounder.
Dude, I know. I
Why
know,
feel so big?
but it's funny, like even after the last 2 or 3 years, and like I don't know who wrote that top 100 lakes in Georgia thing for Bassmaster, but they ranked Lanier like fourth. It's probably the fourth best lake in the whole country, and they rated it fourth in Georgia. But it is like, it's just insane. I got no other way to say it. It's unbelievable.
It's definitely, it was on the bucket list, but I think after experiencing Norman spots, it's definitely numero uno
Well,
right
dude,
now.
that's like going to Watts Bar and like instead of Gunnersville. Like
Fair
that's
enough.
not like I'm telling you, yeah, if you're ever near it, you have to get on it. And like Hartwell doesn't touch it, Kiwi doesn't touch it, Clarks Hill doesn't, nothing's like it. It's its own deal.
All right, game on.
Yeah, it's
It
special.
was, I was pretty bummed. We were talking about this whole spotted bass topwater thing. I was literally giggling like a little kid for tournament morning because I didn't have to hold back like obviously in practice and just straight smoke at him first thing on a topwater. But I was pissed. The angle of my GoPro, I ended up was shifting this way and I was casting that way so you couldn't see it because my big fat head was in the way. But I had one come up and eat the topwater. And then two of them came up and headbutted each other midair, jumping at the top water. It was
Dude,
the funniest thing. Nate, the
spots.
guy that was sharing the point over, is like, I felt bad for him because he couldn't get anything to go. I think they were all on the right side of the point, nothing on the left. But I'm sitting there like laughing, but half trying to reel this fish in because I'm just watching these. It's like the way I relate it to it was like watching those stupid cat videos where you just watch these two fish come out of midair and smoke each other. It's
Yeah.
just, yeah, it was a full
Well, dude,
epitome
and it's
of that.
like I always tell like clients and stuff, like you would think it gets old. I promise you, once June rolls around and I haven't done it in a few months, and even in October when I've been doing it for 6 months, every day it amazes me. I'm like, this is just freaking stupid.
The
I'm sure
top
you can
water fish
relate
are
to
the
like the
best.
smallmouth guiding. Like people probably think you get, and it's not that you don't every now and then get tired of it. Like you probably have some days where you're like, yeah, this is, I've done this for 30 days in a row now, but it's still unbelievable.
I get tired of fishing deep because it's just a spinning rod. You're
Yeah,
chasing
that would wear
boulders.
me out. That would wear me
It gets very monotonous and you're doing the same thing and it's the same pattern. They kind of move like a little deeper, a little shallower, but you can kind of pattern them out. What I like to do is I have the Niagara River here that has like 3.5, 4 mile an hour current and go pick up a big spook and see if a smallmouth will eat it or go up shallow and throw a spy bait at visual targets. Like that's fun when I can do that. Can't do it all the time with clients because, some of them can't cast or some of them just can't work the bait the proper way. So you have to adjust through that day. But yeah, fishing never gets old. It's just
No.
you have to change it up once in a while.
Dude, I'll be sitting here in my basement in my office working, and Andy's like, oh, another day, guy. No deep water fishing. I'm like, Andy, shut the hell up. You could be sitting in this chair right now.
But
But
I do understand both sides
yeah,
of it.
totally get
Yeah, like there are a couple days, and I love guiding. I'd never say I wouldn't want to do it, but there are some days where you're like, gosh, I think I might rather be in an office right now.
it.
No, the goods make up for the bads with it, no doubt.
Yeah. Also, dude, I definitely want to talk about it, the TAA event a little bit
Yep.
here. I will say for
Yeah,
people
I'm
that
getting hot. I
want
gotta take this sweater off.
yeah, let it rock. For folks that want a full breakdown, encourage you to go listen to the BTL. I'm sure you guys did a I didn't listen to that full one yet because I wanted just to chit chat through this, but I'm sure you guys
We can probably touch on some stuff we didn't hit. It's typical. We went off on some tangents too.
But I'm sure you at least did like a general breakdown of the event and things like that, and don't want to take any thunder away from BTL. So you guys, if you haven't listened to that one, I encourage you to. But coming out of it, out of this event, where do you see, one, the potential for it to go? And what was, would you say from your experience, the overall, like, how it was put on, your overall experience of the event?
Yep. So coming out of it, dude, it was like everybody at that tournament was in a good mood. It was ran really well. Like, it was just a good tournament. Like, that is the best way to put it. Like, it was, everyone got their checks. The weigh-in was good. Like, nobody was, what's a good word for it? I guess just bitching about forward-facing sonar the whole time. And, like, you know, it was just fun. And, dude, the guy running it, Alan, he legitimately just wants, like, he has his own business and does really well for himself. So that thing is registered as a nonprofit, and he's only doing it for the anglers. Like, he spent a bunch of his own money, like, had a bunch of staff there, like, spent like a bunch of money on these devices that go around the scope. And, like, you know how much it costs to run a big tournament like that, and still pretty much gave us a 100% payout. And I know he said that any sponsor money he's getting in the future is going directly into the payout. So it is, I mean, it's a good deal, and he has no intentions to let up. He's not trying to like compete with Bass or MLF. He just wants like another supplementary trail for people to fish. And, you know, I think the future he's going to do one day of practice. So that sounds crappy on the surface, 'cause you're like, I'm not going to be able to figure anything out, but if nobody else has those days of practice, what does it matter? Right. So you're saving yourself. You know, I don't have a family, but if a bunch of those guys do. So, like, they're saving themselves a bunch of time away from the house, or if you're missing time off your regular day job, plus the cost of gas, boat depreciation, everything else that go into an extra 4, 5, 6, 2 weeks of practice if there's no cutoff. Yeah. And, yeah, dude, it was sweet. Other than that, it was pretty much just the standard five fish limit. There was no live scope, no 360, no waypoints. All we got was a ride around before. And it was weird at first, I'm not gonna lie. I still caught all mine pretty much offshore. Like, some of them were like way offshore, and it was weird. You got really excited when you got a bite, whereas nowadays we pretty much know when it's coming. That is one thing, and I am not even close to a live scope hater. I love it, but we don't get as excited about bites as we used to anymore. And in that tournament, when I got bit, it was like, you got that, like, you know, your heart stopped for a second. And
then, what just happened?
Yeah. And it was really, I guess, satisfying to go back and, like, I fished way more of a pattern than I normally would have. I think with scope, I usually run this time of year a lot more just spots where you pull up, you know, see if they're there, catch a few and leave. This one, it was like, yeah, it was a whole different mindset. But dude, it was really fun. Like, everybody who was there had positive feedback, even the guys who didn't get checks, and clearly they blasted them. I mean, it sucks for me, because, and I'm not complaining in the slightest, but like the entire top 12, me, Jeff Gustafson, Kaz Anderson, and Joey Cifuentes, we were the only ones fishing for them, and we had spotted bass. But I think, I don't want to say that, because I'm sure some of the other guys weighed some just fishing. I know David Williams caught a bunch of his just fishing, but the predominant of that weight in the top 12 was bed fishing, which, you know, isn't a whole lot better than anything else in my opinion, but it was really fun. Right. And he's got the plan to do more of them, and I'm planning on being there for sure.
Yeah, I heard I think it was Trey Daldane on Twitter was saying that it's not official yet, but there sounds like they're trying to do one in the fall, which could be pretty cool. I don't know if it's the same lake or whatnot.
No, he's going to go to some different places. I think he wants to come back to Lanier next year, just because it's such a good lake. And that's part of the reason I think everyone was having, like, if you had 16 a day, you got, like, I don't know, probably 25th or 30th.
Yeah,
I mean, real for a so spot, it's like you could still go and have a great day, and I mean, losing $5,000 does suck. I'd probably be in a pretty bad mood, but
yeah. But still, I hope that one more anglers will get involved in it, the next coming events and moving forward. Especially
well, he had a bunch of signups and just people who bailed last minute. And it really could have been a 200 boat event, but I think people were scared to throw $5,000 at something that they'd never even seen happen before. So this was probably as much of a proof of concept as anything else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally get that side. Like I saw, of course, the people in comments are going to be the keyboard warriors, but they're like, oh, I don't see so-and-so that's been complaining about it showing up for this event. Well, it's like, that's a lot of money to throw at something that you don't know how it's going to be run. Like, I would probably be in the side of caution, too. Or like, I'm just going to let the first one ride and just see how it goes. You know, it's like
a new product. Like,
they're like, I'm going to let you buy it first.
You know? The guy who runs it, Alan, like, he's an awesome guy. But, like, at first I was like, I'm just wiring $5,000 to this guy. For all I know, he could be throwing it in a bank account and this tournament's never going to happen. But
ghost everybody. There's your retirement.
Yeah, it'd be like the most famous ghost of all time. But no, it was fun. And it'd be cool to go somewhere super random for one too, like somewhere nobody's got any history too. I mean, that'd be a lot of fun, but
yeah,
that
the way
meme,
I look
at that freaking that meme or whatever you guys made the video, that I think like 400 people sent that to me, so I appreciate that.
I'm sure I think that thing almost has up to 1,000 shares, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, but
we had some people going like they were.
I know some people took that way too seriously. I wasn't gonna get involved because like it was literally pointing at me in it, so I was like, I'm just gonna watch.
So that's the best part is so I didn't intentionally do that. It just so happened that the meme, whatever that I made on it, pointed at you, but I didn't notice it until someone told me that. I was just looking at it. I'm like, okay,
I thought you planned it like that because literally the guy's hand goes like under my name. And I'm like, oh, God.
I didn't notice
it. I saw you posted it and I was like, this is great, but this is about to go sideways. And sure enough, all the comments, but it was funny. It was hilarious. But
we had some people commenting on it, like Caleb Summerall commenting on it. And he can take it, he gets the joke, but he definitely poked fun at it. And that's like we're all we can handle a joke. We can handle some fun hate, but there were some people that you could tell were like they were pissed off.
I know, like I swear some people, like,
guys, this is all a joke. Yeah. Like this is all fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people don't know how to recognize humor, especially in today's day and age. Oh, everyone's so in the fishing world, it's like everyone's just so pissed.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing, and this is the last thing negative I will say. On the show, or at least about the event. I think this event was incredible. I love it. And I actually have some ideas that I've been talking with some guys with, and I definitely want to run by you for either the next one or if there's one next year that I'd love to do with Serious Angler. But the one thing I found comical, and I shouldn't say negative, was the amount of people who are like, they're like, yeah, four face sonar sucks. Now stop going to events that headed on spawn. Like, you wanted an event with no forward, and you're still.
Dude, don't even give me. I couldn't agree more. Dude, those people who leave those comments and stuff, they will never be happy. The next one, it'll be, oh, you had to go to a smallmouth event where guys were out in the middle anyway. It's like those kind of people, dude, you just let them be.
Yeah, then it'll be, of course you went to Gunnersville when the punch and bite's on. Go to when it's hard. And it's like,
right. You literally cannot.
You cannot please
make those people happy. Yeah, and it's
you
like,
just got to ignore it. We got some people.
Yeah, and I mean this honest to God. Like, obviously it's hard not to get into the conversations about everything right now, but like at the end of the day, like you're not hearing that stuff from guys, generally speaking, who are in all these tournaments. It's from these random people like that you never hear about just in comments. Probably some dude on his couch who doesn't even fish very often. So it's like, I don't know. From my point of view, it's like I just fish and don't really worry about the rest of
it. For the most part, I ignore all of it. It's more like, because we have some guys on here that I've recognized the name that only ever come in here and comment negative stuff. It's never any positive glimpse, which I hate when not trying to look at some positive situation, but it's when they start attacking anglers for this stuff that are like friends of the show, friends of mine that I know are really, really good people, that's like almost like the not calling myself a big brother of the anglers, but like that mentality comes out where it's like, God, it's like I tried to resist so hard to comment back to some of these people.
Right. And they like, there is genuinely like people out there that like, they just think that stuff's easy. I'm like, you don't even, it's like you have to go so far down a rabbit hole and work so hard just to do like decent at these events, and like there's people online who think it's like easy,
easiest
but
thing ever.
Well, yeah, what you do, you can't make those people happy or change their mind. So
yeah, and it's, I'm sure you're hearing all of it, because one, it's you're wicked with forward facing, you're wicked without it, but also Lanier was your home lake and you're in the one of the youngsters. You had the full gauntlet.
And dude, I will say there was a lot of pressure in the sense going into it, because I was like, damn, if I don't catch him in this one, I am kind of gonna look like an idiot.
Just home lake and everything.
Yeah, but I mean, home lake is a place that like not crushes like anglers from the home lake, but it time over time, the home lake guy, not just feeling pressure, they
usually do really good or really bad.
Yeah, it's one or the other, top five or bust. And
that was one thing. I actually had a really good conversation. There was a guy that was just talking about some negatives, and there's some people out there that actually really appreciate that. Take it out of the comments, so DM, and we can have like a mature, constructive conversation about it. But there was one guy was like, of course, like it's home lake, you know, you got these guides out there. Well, yeah, but like, look at this year, Jason Christie on Grand Lake and Lee Livesey on Fork. Everybody put all the pressure on them. And
yeah, like, dude, I tell people all the time, like, Hartwell is only a semi home lake for me. Like, I get to go there maybe 30 times a year. That's days, not like separate trips, but like I go there a decent bit. But like I would take a tournament on there or Clark's Hill or something like that usually anytime over Lanier, because Lanier, dude, it gets to a point where like you've caught a 5 pounder on just about every point and hump in the lake, and
you have too much.
It's really, really hard to look at it with like a fresh mindset and being able to figure out like what's going on that day, because you're so stuck on all your options. Whereas when you go somewhere that you're comfortable with, but it's still not like, you know, it like the back of your hand, you can figure out, like, you get what I'm saying? Like the little things that are going on that day or that week, whereas it's so easy to overlook that stuff somewhere that you've just seen too much, like Lanier. So history helped me in that one, but it can bite you too. Like, dude, the second day I had zero bass, not a 14 incher at 11 o'clock.
Huh.
Yeah. Cause the first day I caught them all on a shaky head, on these shallow points that like usually the spots spawn on and stuff, or like little rock piles and whatnot. And I'd done it, and it just, dude, it was just not working. I don't know if I just wasn't pulling my hat right or what, but, and then I did a total 180 and went and fished a herring spawn on some seawalls, and it was like unbelievable.
That's awesome.
But it was dude, it was fun. Seriously, I think you could ask almost anyone that was there and they'd say the same thing.
Yeah, it looks like a heck of a time. I saw like, I would love to see more coverage around it, which is definitely one of the things I want to talk to you about later. But like, so I saw Bass 365 went down. He did a good job covering it. But like, it just looked like a really fun event. To not saying that the current formats are bad, but it's a breath of fresh air, I think, for some folks.
Yeah.
And what it really reminded me of was, and we've talked about it countless times on the show, like MLF with their cup format, that was the best thing I think they've ever done. I think they really were, the big miss that they had was not making those live and making that their format, which I think you have here, which is like you show up to a lake and at most you get 4 hours of ride around and that's it. Then you go and fish for 3 days.
100%. And so the coverage thing is tricky, right? Because you'd have to find a way to do coverage without that. Like he's not a tournament organization for profit. So you'd have to find a way to provide really good coverage without it costing. I mean, live coverage, I can't imagine how much that would cost, but.
Well, that's where I think people like us need to step forward and try to help. Like I know Joyce Fuentes went live on his Facebook page. It's just time for anglers to really present themselves and brand themselves in places like this to make themselves one, more worthy to their sponsors, but two, to bring more attention to themselves. Cause like, I mean, it kind of gives you, like, on the flip side, I love that this guy's just got the intentions of, I want to provide a great event for the anglers, about the anglers, come in, have fun, compete for big money, and allows anglers, one, to, you can choose, like, oh, I want to go watch Brandon Polinick fish, or I want to watch Emil fish,
that
I
want to
watch Joey fish. Yeah. But it's, I mean, I guess I'll throw it out there. I was trying to just keep it a little bit hush, but I'm sure some people are trying to do it. I would love to live stream 1 to 3 anglers on Sirius Angler for the next tournament. Like, get us down there, get us in their boats, and live stream for you guys. Like, it'd be a cool way of getting coverage, but also for the event itself. Like I don't see why it's probably a no brainer for him, like to bring in these media outlets.
He doesn't have to do the work or pay the money to get it, and y'all get the benefits of the added audience on your channel. Yeah, that's a win win. Exactly.
Yeah, and it'd be like it's for the angler, like you're live on somebody's show, you're getting the attention. Like I would love to see this become a thing where it's like Jay Kumar at Bass Blaster goes, you get, you know, Bass 365s there, you get a bunch of the, you know, Wired to Fish, whomever. But like it'd be cool to see all that forefront of fishing media come forward, and for the anglers, for the trail, it could really be a cool spectacle, is what
100%. 100%. And I think too, like it'd be cool if this thing took off to where there was four or five events a year, and it was just like a supplementary trail to if you fish the Opens or the Elites or the Bass Pro Tour. Because if I do get it, like some of those guys, like their style really just doesn't cater towards fishing offshore or using live scope or whatever, and it is just a super dominant technique right now. Mm-hmm. So I do understand the argument that there needs to be room for both. I don't think, you know, one needs to be banned or whatever, but I totally get that some people would want to fish a tournament where you don't have to think about it the whole tournament. So
yeah, it's a cool we said breath of fresh air, but also just a different thing that people aren't seeing right now.
Right. And it's like, I was thinking about it. It's like now I pretty much always look for a way to catch them offshore when you go somewhere. But if you know that you can't use scope or 360, even if you could use 360, you'd still be chilling because you could line up on your brush and all that stuff really nicely. But when you don't have any of that, it's like you start looking for options you normally wouldn't look for before. So I don't know. I get it. It's cool.
Yeah. No, and directly when it was going on, you know, we were talking about it earlier. I was in a different, granted, obviously it's from the kayak, but didn't have any of the electronics on it. And it felt really good to just not look down at a screen and just go fish. Because it's definitely a whole different mindset. But either way, that's really cool. I definitely want to talk more about that whole coverage stuff with you later. But
yeah, I can put you in touch with Alan. I know he's still like, he still hasn't even gotten to where he knows where the second tournament is or anything, but 100%, I'm sure he'd be all in on that.
Yeah, we got his contact, and actually it's going to be an upcoming Biz for the Bass Boat show. It's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely want to be pretty actively involved in that, and it's freaking awesome. But before we let you go here, because we got our upcoming guests about to jump on here in a little bit, how you feeling about your open season thus far and the remainder of what's to come for 2024?
Yep. Yeah, I was feeling really good after the first two events. I think I was like seventh in the points or something, and then Santee Cooper happened, and that was not pretty. That was by far the worst tournament I've ever had. And dude, like I told buddies and stuff, like I legit could have like cried going to weigh in that first day. Like it's just like you work so hard, and then to have two fish on Santee Cooper in March, it was a tough pill to swallow. But I left the event thinking I was out of it, and then I looked at the points and stuff, and it's still super doable. So I feel good about it in the sense that I guess I'm a little less stressed now than I was after the first two, but I think I need, I don't know, I'm not a big math guy when it comes to the tournaments, but probably a few top 20s and then not another one below 50th. And I think, you know, I'd still be pretty dang close. And, Logan Martin, I think Lay Lake helped me a lot for that one, being there for Red Crest and everything. I learned a lot about how the Coosa sets up and how those river fish set up. And I think the only one that's a really big curveball in my head is going to be Mississippi River and Leech Lake. More so Mississippi River, I don't know. I just feel like that'll be a weird one. Yeah, I feel like you can have 12 and then another guy will have 13 and a half both days and he's 50 spots above you. So the goal is just to, I mean, obviously still try to make the Elites the rest of the year, but also just learn a bunch. I mean, I was telling Matt, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but I literally don't think you could create a more diverse schedule than what they came out with this year. I mean, it doesn't matter about what your strength is. Like, you are not going to be able to do it at even 80% of the events. Like, it is all over the place. You have a Florida event, then we go to Wachita, which was kind of a deep clear water event, but they ended up catching them in the grass. Then you have Santee Cooper. They were all spawning on the bank, which is what screwed me up. I should have seen that coming. And then you have Logan Martin, which is a total river system. Then you go to Freaking, you follow Oklahoma, that's like the biggest gar hole in the world from what I've heard, and it's just a grinder of a tournament. And then St. Clair, that's just straightforward smallmouth fishing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Mississippi River, you have wing dams, grass, smallmouth, everything. Leech Lake, there's never even been a bass event on. I mean, nobody has any history there. That part of it's like straight smallmouth, deep bowl, and then there's like largemouth grass fishing as far as the eye can see. And then we ended on a herring lake, which is offshore fishing, but it's totally its own thing. So, I mean, it's if you make it this year, you deserved it for sure. But
I wonder how
I'm
many
a
Midwest guys are trying to jackpot that specific
leech.
division because it's just like
Is that one like, do a lot of people fish that place? Like, do they have big local tournaments and stuff?
leech.
Up
Yeah.
there, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. It's, we got a few buddies up that way that they get some
It's
big turnout for
Easton's
this.
home lake, so I'm
The
sure he's
pressure's on.
well, I mean, yeah, that's got to be huge, especially when it's one thing like, yeah, I love Hartwell, but a bunch of people have been to Hartwell. It's like when it's your home lake and literally nobody else has been there, like that's got to be a good feeling. But
Yeah, because it definitely is out of the way for a lot of you southern guys that it's not like a quick trip to go pre-fish type of deal or check it out. It's not something
yeah.
that's on the way to another event either. But
Yeah,
either way, it's
I'm going to Logan Martin in the morning. I'm gonna go check it out before the cutoff Sunday, I think. So I'm gonna go look at it for 2 days. It's only like 2 hours from the house, and I've never really been there, so gonna go check that out and then go fish a BFL on Hartwell on Saturday and then guide for 2 weeks and head to Logan for the next one. But they're different. I don't know. It's not like the Toyotas and whatnot. It's, you put a lot more pressure on yourself because everyone is so important, but they're fun. I'll be doing them next year if I don't make it. So awesome.
Like, yeah, man. Well, you're staying fishy. I think that's the most important thing. So,
Yeah. What do y'all have coming up?
oh man. Andy's obviously got guiding, working, nothing big tournament wise.
Gosh. Man, what a life we have, guiding. Working and we're
This
inside of
is why we have you on, Emil, because we don't live exciting lives over here.
Oh my gosh. Whatever.
I look at smallmouth, I'm forward facing and tell people where to cast. It's
Yeah,
a big problem.
that would be tough.
Yeah.
But no, you guys, yeah, you'll have to move down south and come get a taste of it.
We're thinking. Well, I shouldn't say we.
Yeah, Bailey's thinking I'm probably not going anywhere, so.
Yeah, either way, we'll be in touch, Emil, and seriously, always appreciate you taking time to jump on this show. Again, encourage people to go listen to the BTL. You guys did, I'm sure, a full more breakdown of the TAA event itself, but man, always fun, and I'm sure we'll have many tangents coming up when we get you back on here.
Absolutely. I'm always down. Appreciate it, guys.
Heck yeah, buddy. Safe travels tomorrow.
Yeah. See you.
There you go. Emil Wagner, always a treat getting him on here. But dude, really quick, talking about that youth movement. I mean, yeah, well, yeah, talking about youth movement. We're gonna be having two dang hammers coming up here soon. We got Tyler Corey and Scott Sledge, which
Yeah,
is
we've been keeping them waiting for, I think, almost a half hour.
yeah, I
Poor
think I
guys.
texted Tyler like 30 minutes ago. I was like, yeah, 10 minutes, buddy. We're gonna bring you on. It's been a good
Our
half hour,
apologies.
45
Yeah.
minutes at least. We can't be trusted. But
No.
no, on the youth movement, like, here's the thing. Yes, we have all this stuff accessible, but like, when you listen to, I think, Emil, you could put in that bucket of the youth movement, right? He's grinding out guiding every single day. He's taking the time and effort to
He's on the
go
water.
refish these places. It's just, I think we live in an age where, one, these, I think you have, not saying that generations before haven't had that grind, but they're finding out a way to grind in different avenues than have existed in previous generations. Where it's, yeah, you could be on the water every day, but it's they're in a different fashion. You're guiding or you're going to pre-fish. You're probably not driving all over the country to check out lakes, 20, 30 years ago, like the guys are doing now, where they have avenues like with sponsors and things like that that can afford to pay that, for them to go and do such a thing. But I just, again, that's one thing I want to throw out there because it's a straight effort thing. It's impressive to see some of these young guys, in the absolute straight knockdown, drag out, not sleeping, and the effort that they put forth to make these dreams happen. Which, by the way, with that, like, that's one thing I've seen with Kyle Patrick, you know, on the Elite Series that we've gotten to see a glimpse of. And I got to give him a kudos for his YouTube series. He's dropped his classic video. He's doing his YouTube stuff unlike any other pro is, and it's absolutely, he's bringing his Tyler, or not good grief, his Kyle humor into it, but also the style fashion of editing is bravo. Anybody that hasn't watched it, I encourage you to. It's just, it's Kyle being Kyle, so you'll thoroughly enjoy
Kyle.
Dude, it. Just like one scene of cuts to of him taking a piss off the boat, and he's like, I'm peeing on my jig. I wonder if they'll eat it. Like, it's just Kyle being Kyle, and then he goes to proceed to catch a 4-pounder. So it's
a jig. Oh, yeah. Man, that's going to be the next hot thing, Kyle urine.
Yeah, I don't even want to go down that. But either way, thank you again to Emil for hopping on the show. Definitely want to make him a consistent one, and I think we'll have to get him on for the each open, kind of get a little recap. But with that being said, we got Tyler and Scott coming up here, and a quick message from X2 Power.
In the world of battery power, a word to the wise: compromise elsewhere.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanger fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.